I was waiting to see if you said fine. This was the it's a programmed answer. I'm having a heart attack, but I'm fine. Okay. Well, I guess everybody's scooping snow, huh? All right. What's that? Yeah, right. They have Eastern Standard, Central Standard, and Snow Standard. We don't need a whole hour. We just need an extra 15 minutes, right? Yeah. Well, I guess I read it, but I was thinking it was going to be like a quarter inch or something. We got more than that. I was wrong. More tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. Never right. Was it 2 point something tomorrow? So. Yeah. Well, got catching up to do. Yeah, right. All right. Well, good morning, folks. We are looking at lesson number 5. I am the leader. Remember when you were in grade school and you got they take turns with things? Somebody gets to be the leader for the day or whatever and lead them to lunch room or recess or whatever. Well, Moses is getting to be a leader, and God's the leader. So we'll be looking here at Exodus 13 to 15 here today, Lord willing. I was going to dig that out this morning and give you the title, but didn't get that done. There is a DVD out that tells about the crossing of the Red Sea. Many of you have seen that. Anybody? No? Okay. It's been a long time since we've shown it. So maybe next Sunday, I don't know how long it is either, but maybe we can show some of that. And they go right there to the Red Sea, show where they were camped and where they crossed and some of the artifacts that they found at the bottom of the Dead Sea, like chariot wheels and stuff. So I thought that might be something to kind of put it in perspective. But any prayer requests you might have before we get started here today? Yes, Mark?
Please pray for the continuance of my cousin Don, his lung recovery. I'm not sure of his salvation. His mom, who has, her name is Janet, and she has COVID, and I'm not sure of their elevation, like appraisal now that I was told that they were, but I don't know. And also Christy, for her to be turned from her worldly living, and for Jenny and Ben to open the Bible and receive the words of the Bible.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Update on my neighbor Ann. Her dad had been in the hospital. He had a high fever, almost 105. Turns out he had an infection in his leg that was causing issues. So they did a full course of antibiotics, and he came home from the hospital yesterday.
Great. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, she was having problems too, wasn't she?
Yeah, I haven't heard anymore.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Good enough. Yes, sir, I see that hand.
Yes, sir. Please pray for Margie.
Okay.
She's acting up on me again.
Oh.
I didn't think anybody wanted to listen to her cough, so.
Okay. Well, maybe we could. Never mind. I'll. Yeah, ring the bells, and that way we get cough in unison or something. Anyway, we'll pray for her. Yeah. Yes, Sammy?
My niece's MS is acting up again, and she's having some real problems with her eyes and has to see a specialist.
Hmm. What's her name?
Becca.
Becca?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Also, Jenny and Ben and June. Ben and June have a bad blood disorder, and he just got the COVID, which they were horrendously afraid that he would have huge complications, but he came out of it. And now Juneberg had it, but she has a littler body, and which, you know, they can't.
Okay. All right. Affects everybody a little bit differently. And we got at least three that we know of to choose from, right? So, okay. All right. We can keep praying for Chris. He's feeling better so far. Patty's staying healthy. So, okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can bring these requests to you. We pray your healing hand upon those who are in physical need of healing. Think of little June with COVID and having this blood disease and the potential for blood clots and such. We pray that you'd help her to have a good recovery. We thank you for bringing Ben through that. With the same issue in his own life. Pray for Jenny and Ben. They might have a new outlook on the scriptures to believe it, that it is God's word. It's true and accurate. We pray for Mark's cousin Don as he's dealing with recuperating from lung surgery. And pray for his salvation and that of his parents, Janet and Bob. Pray that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if they haven't already. Pray you'll continue to work in Christy's life, that she might be dissatisfied with what the world has to offer and be looking to you for direction, and that she too might come to know Christ and desire to live for him. We thank you that Anne's father was, they were able to figure out what the problem was with him and treat him with the antibiotics, and he's back home. Thank you for that. Pray for Margie as she's still dealing with this cough. I pray that you'd help that to subside, and she'd be getting over that here soon. For Chris, pray you'll continue to strengthen him, help. Thank you. He's making progress, feeling better, and also, you know, keeping Patty safe from this. We think of Sandy's niece, Becca, problems with MS and her eyes. Pray that give the doctors wisdom and as they seek to treat her. But ultimately, we know you're the great physician and you're able to bring healing when the doctors aren't sure what to do. We ask that you guide us in our study time here now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've seen the Israelites leaving Egypt. They've headed out of town. We're picking this up around Exodus 13, if you have your Bibles there. And we see here that the Lord is providing the direction for them. Exodus 13 and verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt." So we see here that God had a choice on where and how to lead the people once they left Egypt. They're, you know, heading towards the promised land, but the straightest route may not always be the best route. And again, they've been slaves for the last 400 years. They had not been trained in warfare. Probably didn't have any implements of warfare. I don't know where or how they ended up with the implements, of the swords and everything else later on that they ended up using. But right out of the box, they didn't need to be running into the Philistines with their armies. And so God led them in another way. He said, unless they run into the Philistines, get scared and think, hey, it's better to be alive and be a slave in Egypt than to be dead fighting the Philistines and turn around and run back to Egypt. So they avoid the route head for the Philistines. And instead, God leads them in a different path. And have you ever had your GPS steer you down the wrong path? okay. They are fallible. And if you don't always update your maps, which I haven't, but mine, they've completed a road that didn't used to always be there. And so I don't know if the old one only went to as far as the bridge or what, but it was over a big river. And and I'm watching this GPS. I'm on the freeway, and all of a sudden, it doesn't know where I'm at. You know, it's like water below. But, you know, God knew where he was going. They didn't necessarily. Everybody didn't get a trip map to know exactly what the route was going to be. So they followed the Lord. And we see here in verse 18, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt." And who did they take with them? Bones of Moses, okay? Or Joseph's. See? You repeat. Moses took the bones of Joseph, okay? So I don't know if they had him on the back of a mule or what, but they're carrying out his bones. I don't know if you weigh more or less after they've embalmed you and you've laid around for a couple hundred years. But, you know, that was one of Joseph's wish. When you guys leave, take me with you. I don't want to be left here in this sandbox. And so he says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones hence, away hence with you." And so here they're heading off. And next week we'll try to have the map up here more connections with a new computer to make that happen here. But anyway, so how was God guiding them? Okay, a pillar. Okay, so we got two things going on. A cloud and pillar of fire. Okay, so we've 21 and the Lord went before them by day with a pillar of a cloud. Now, I don't know what if how's that song? And the skies are not cloudy all day. if you're in Egypt, there's not many clouds, and so there's only one to pick from. Now, sometimes around here, you'd have trouble because there's all kinds of clouds. Which one do we follow here? And they're all heading for the lake. But God guided them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, I don't know what time it got dark over there. It's getting a little better around here. It used to be, 4:30? It was dark out. Now it's a little bit later than that. But so they had a night light. The street light was on, so they know where to go. And verse 22, and it was always one or the other there for them. It says, verse 22, and he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Okay, so they always knew which direction to go. What else might that help them with knowing? What else would they know from this? Yeah, that God was with them. Okay, because that was the thing, and we'll see that in a little bit. You know, they accused Moses more than once of, Moses, you took us out of Egypt, out here to die. You know, and God's making sure that they know I'm still here. You know, I'm with you. I'm got you out. We're going to keep you safe. And so here, God leads them towards the Red Sea. Was that a good thing, humanly speaking?
No.
No. Okay. Well, we're all in unison on that, anyway. Okay. So, yeah, it we come up to the Red Sea, and it's a dead end. Again, like the GPS, I remember we were trying to find some motel, and we get up, and it's a T intersection, and it says, you've arrived. Okay, but it's fields. There's nothing here. Do we go right? Do we go left? it can't go ahead anymore. And, God leads them to the Red Sea. But he, again, God didn't go, oops, forgot to plug that in, didn't update the map. No, he didn't want them running from the Philistines and running back to Egypt. But he does bring them to the point, okay, what do they have to, what do they end up doing once they get there?
Being pretty critical of Moses. Well, not yet.
Well, yeah, you're way to go, Moses. Yeah. So here they are. They've been delivered this far, but now they're forced to turn to God for help. It's like, okay, we don't want to go back. What are we going to do here? And God didn't mess up here. He knew exactly what he was doing. And we see that he's leading the people of Israel. And also, he's showing wisdom. God's got this all figured out. He knows the end from the beginning, from the route he's going to go from Egypt to the promised land. It's not necessarily a straight line, but there's reasons behind that. But he's got them camped down by not the riverside, but down by on the beach of the Red Sea. He's also he's going to send a message What's he trying to convince the people of Egypt of?
Probably that they don't think they got to know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is going to be like shooting fish in a barrel or something. This is going to be easy. They're all rounded up, and in fact, they were kind of, you know, I don't know how they knew what the Egyptians were thinking or saying, but, you know, again, Pharaoh had hardened his heart. He had turned the people, or caused his army to go, eventually here goes out after him. Somehow, I don't know if they got spies out to see which way they're going. And they come back to Pharaoh saying, hey, you know, they're off the beaten path here. Pharaoh had said, okay, here's where you can go. And they didn't take that route. You may have done that too. People have told you how to go, and then you end up going a different direction. We see here that they were doing what God wanted them to do, not necessarily what Pharaoh wanted them to do. And so he's hardened his heart. He decides to pursue after these slaves. Looks like they're trying to get away. And question was brought up here the other week about, and that could kind of be a study in of itself, about Pharaoh hardening his heart. Well, you know, so didn't he have a choice? You know, God hardened his heart. So, you know, he said no. Well, he said yes and then no, back and forth on these different plagues. Well, now he's hardened his heart again. And so I looked this up, and I've got 6 pages worth here, but they did a bit of a deeper study on it. And let me just read a couple paragraphs here. It says, the Bible speaks both of Pharaoh hardening his own heart and God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Before we deal with those two different seemingly contrary truths, it's helpful to understand what the word harden means and how a heart hardens. It's God's hand and Pharaoh's heart. It says, harden can mean to stiffen. And that happened long before Moses had met Pharaoh. The ruler was already stiff-necked and cruel. Okay, and we see that in the way that he was treating the Egyptians or the Hebrews. Second, harden means to strengthen. And this word occurs a number of times in the storyline. Sometimes it's ambiguous as to who is causing the strengthening. Sometimes God actively does it. The strengthening is a reinforcement in the direction a person is already moving. And third, harden means to make heavy or to deaden. In other words, Pharaoh was already stiff-necked and rebellious. He continued to dig in, doubling down in arrogance, and God strengthened or reinforced that direction. And finally, all ambiguity disappeared. Pharaoh crossed the line, refusing to repent, even when his servants urged him not to ruin Israel or ruin Egypt. That's when the 10th plague was about to happen. And the king's heart was set like a stone against God. So God deadened it. Okay, and there's a whole lot more than that. But he was headed in that direction anyway. God just made it kind of stay that way. So he's hardened his heart. You know, he's mad and angry. He's, you know, probably thinking about his firstborn that just died. And these guys are getting away. And we're going to bring them back. Can you imagine what kind of treatment they'd have got if he'd ever got a hold of them and brought them back? I mean, they thought they had it bad before. So we see that Israel's seemingly trapped, looks like doomed. They cry out to God. Unfortunately, sometimes we end up in the same boat. You know, we wait till we're between a rock and a hard spot before we call out to God for help. We try all of our bright ideas to see if we can get out of the mess we're in. And when that finally fails, we call to God. But In Exodus 14:10 says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And he said unto Moses, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt this way with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? You know, wasn't there enough place to die in Egypt that we have to come out here to do it? Verse 12 says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Okay, so they're already thinking, yeah, this is not a very good decision here. But, you know, they cry out to God, and then they're complaining about Moses leading them out there. You know, it's not like they're really trusting God yet. But that's about all the help or hope that they have at this point. And as we mentioned, they pull the same line on him again later on. They're thinking Moses or God or both have led them astray. How in the world do we end up out here up next to the Red Sea? Nowhere to go. It looks like things are out of control. And that might look like it to us at times, you know, like people in Washington or Madison or whatever are kind of out of control. Who's running this place anyway? But God still has a plan. You know, he's not always sending it on ahead so we get to preview what his plan is, but God has one. And so, again, that's part of what they have to learn to do, is to learn to trust the Lord. Now, how do you learn to trust the Lord? Do you just wake up one morning and decide you're going to trust him? You read about it in somebody else's life? Well, they did it. I guess I can do it. You know, sometimes at least we learn by the school of what?
Hard
knocks. Hard knocks. So you guys heard the same stuff I have. You're going to have to learn this the hard way. You know, so mean, you know, as they're having an anxiety attack, you know, God's still got a plan. Now, what does Moses tell them?
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah. Was he right? He was half right. Okay. God didn't want him to stand still. God was saying, come on, let's go. You know, and they're now they were going to eventually be able to stand on the other side of the Red Sea and see how it all worked out. But right now, God's wanting them to move ahead, saying, follow me. What are you waiting on here? Look at verse 15. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? Can you think of another time when God told them to go forward and there was a whole lot of water in front of them? Right. This is fast forward, and they're about to go into the promised land. The Jordan River's at flood stage, and they got to cross the Jordan River somehow, and God said to the priests, start walking, you know. And when they did, the waters piled up, you know, and they were able to get across. Well, they got the Red Sea here, and they had the Nile River. They had water in a few spots. I've not been. Anybody been to Egypt? Okay. Now, and I probably don't have an accurate picture of it, but I kind of jokingly say a kind of a large sand pile, but with a river running through it. But in many cases, I think that's kind of the way it is. And you probably didn't just walk across the Nile River either. It's a big river. And So here they got the Red Sea, and now, okay, last we checked, nobody's walking on the water. How does this work out for us? And God, though, he's got a plan. And we see here, he wants them to step out and move ahead. He says, verse 16, but lift up thy rod. This is Moses, got his rod. Stretch out thy hand over the sea, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. Is that usually what you find at the bottom of a river or a sea? No. It's a mud hole. You step in there and get stuck, right? Yeah, and that's what happens later on with the chariots. But, okay, so they're going to... They start out, they're going to divide it, they're going to go across on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Never done that before. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Okay, God's got a plan. All right, so we're just going to start moving ahead. We're going to cross this Red Sea. The army, the chariots are still out back. Again, he's got chariots and he's got horsemen. They can't outrun these guys. You know, they'll run over them. So what does God? What else does God do? Okay. All right, I'll pick on Mike here. I got two of them, but so you remember when you were at least, I don't know how far they do that, but at least when you're in boot camp, you have road guards. Now maybe you call them something out. Road guards out, and this if you're moving at night, and these guys front and rear go out with their little flashlights. So some car doesn't run over the guys as they're marching across the road. Well, God had his own road guards. Well, how did that work out? Do you remember?
The pillar of fire moved behind the Israelites.
Yeah.
The pillar of fire was in front of them.
Okay. So, yeah, we've got it. Remember, we still got a pillar of fire. We've got a cloud pillar or a cloud as well. And so... Again, the night light, the headlights are on. You know, this is the way we're going, right? Through the sea. You know, and to keep the Egyptians from running, catching up with us and running over us, you know, God's got this cloud out back so they can't see their hand in front of their face. We see here 19. It says, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed. Okay, so it's always been out front. Well, now it says removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So, again, they've got this cloud behind them. It's kind of, it's a smoke screen, if you will. They can't see. They can't follow after them. So, they need a head start. And we've got somewhere, you know, potentially a million people. And we got to get them across. And I probably can't pull that up right now, so I have to kind of remember what I... Because I'm thinking, how wide is the Red Sea at this point? And if I remember when I looked it up, and I suppose it varies, but at this spot, it's like 2.5 miles. We got to get, okay, so you think Milwaukee, everybody in Milwaukee, all these surrounding towns, so we come up with 1 million people, and we got to, and their cattle and their kids and everybody else, and it's nighttime, and they're tired, and I don't want to go, and we're going to cross this thing, you know, and again, this is speculation, I think, on their part, but, you know, if God widened this thing out like 3 miles wide, this wasn't, you know, single file Indian style stuff. 3 miles wide, they got to cross 2.5 miles to the other side. They estimated, you know, at 0.4 miles an hour. Anyway, it's going to take them somewhere between 6 and 8 hours to get everybody across. So had to keep the army back to, and this is during the night, they're crossing this on dry ground, but you still got to walk 2.5 miles, you know, and getting the cows and sheep and everything else that are going along. And so it's going to take a while. Yes, sir. Well, okay, in this film that hopefully I can find, I think Chris has got a copy if I can't find mine. But
is there a peak of the ocean and the dry ground that's higher than the...
Well, yeah, there's a like a bridge. It's not as deep as all the rest of it where they think they probably crossed. But still, it's more than neck high. You know, God still had part of the water, and they cross this thing, and it falls, if I remember right, it falls off on either side of this to really deep, and that's where they find some of the Egyptian artifacts or whatever. They think they know. Well, Solomon, too, way later, puts up some kind of a marker, a stone marker to mark the spot where they had crossed. And they pretty well know. I didn't read all the different geography here to tell exactly where they're at, but there's a valley, you know, and it's kind of that they went down as they're coming to the Red Sea, and then it widens out so there's enough room for them all on the beach, but there's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to go, and it's kind of one way in, one way out. And so they're going to cross at this point. But again, you know, it's for 2.5 miles for most of us probably wouldn't be that big a deal. But, you know, some of the little ones, you know, and they're getting tired and mom, dad's got to carry them and it slows you down. And I'm tired. You got to walk a while. Yeah, I know it's 3 a.m, but come on, let's go. See that water? Guys are going to hold that up there forever. We got to keep going. And they're motivated because they know who's out back, you know, and who they don't have something good in mind. They're not all coming with candy and ice cream to to lure them back. You know, it's swords and spears and so on. And so, you know, they're motivated and, they start across, and they start moving across. And again, amazing. dry ground, you know. It's not a mud hole. They're not all wading up to their knees in mud. Now, when you go to the ocean, you know, it's usually sand. But this is kind of an inland kind of thing. It's a sea because it's big, but and I don't know all the details of that, but I still remember as in high school, went to a Bible camp. It was in Iowa, Clear Lake. You think, oh, crystal clear. Okay, yeah. And then we're going to go skiing. So I jump out of the boat, going to put on my skis, and I sink into the mud up to about my knees, and I'm pulling out these black, nasty-looking legs and trying to get it into my skis. And this is Clear Lake? You know, you needed to go behind the boat to get washed off when you got done with it. But anyway, it wasn't like that. They get across on dry ground, and we see this. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Okay, so you've got this wall of water. I mean, there, you know, there's never anything quite like that. You know, it's, I don't know what you get close to that. If you've been to maybe SeaWorld or some of these aquariums and you're kind of in the basement and they got a big glass window and there's stuff swimming around in there and you're on one side and they're on the other and you're hoping the glass doesn't break. but yeah, it must have been a mind-boggling scene that they're going, and yet they got to come on. We got to keep moving, keep going. Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Okay, so they're coming out on the other side. God's allowing the Egyptians to move on into the sea with all Pharaoh's horses, verse 23, and his chariots and his horsemen. Okay, so all night long they've been crossing. Now it's starting to become daylight again. And again, they're coming across. Verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning they watched the Lord, looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So they're having a kind of a rough go, but we got to get these guys, or Pharaoh's going to have us. We're going to be in big trouble. And they don't get too far, and they start having some problems. Verse 25, and it took off their chariot wheels. Ooh, now it's not a chariot anymore, it's a sled. And if the wheels got stuck in the mud, that's probably not helping the horses out as they're trying to pull this thing along. Okay, so they're slowing down here in a hurry. So they're beating the horses and everything. It says, and they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord Jehovah fighteth for them against the Egyptians, saying, this is a losing battle, folks. Let's get out of here. Okay. I don't know if they had a horn to blow for retreat, but they're turning around ready to head out. You know, let's get back to Egypt. Well, God's got a different plan of mind. Okay, Moses, your arm's getting tired holding that stick up, okay? And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And so Moses did as he was told, 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh, and it came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Okay, so the army is wiped out. Here's Pharaoh's, you know, SEAL Team 6. His number one guys are wiped out. I'm wondering if there wasn't somebody on the other side that's watching all this that went back to tell Pharaoh what happened. Pharaoh, you're not going to believe this. But you don't have an army anymore. You don't have any chariots. You don't have any horses. You don't have any soldiers. They're gone. There remained not one of them. Verse 28, 29, the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters there were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. So they're kind of floating on in about now. And Israel saw the great work that God did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Okay? So, see how fickle people are? 2.5 miles on the west side of the sea, Red Sea. Moses, you lost your mind. You bring us out here to die. 2.5 miles later, a few hours later, and they're on the east side, and they're all safe. And now, oh, yay God, yay Moses, you know. I mean, that's kind of the way people are, you know. This, again, it won't be the first time that God and Moses, people are wavering back and forth. Well, they're excited. I mean, we'd all be excited. We've just been delivered. We got out of Egypt. Those guys chasing us are all dead. We are safe. The army's gone. And God has delivered us in a miraculous way. I mean, who would have ever come up with a plan like that? You know, okay, we'll just march down to the sea, part the sea, walk across, you know. Yeah. I don't know if they're coming up with plans like that in the Pentagon or not, but I'm guessing not. But they're excited, and they decide they're going to come up with a song. We're going to sing a song about this. And chapter 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him in habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is the man of war. Okay? They didn't lift a finger to wipe out this army. God took care of them. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts that he cast into the sea, his chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. They sank like a rock. Okay? Okay, so if you're going to kind of go deep diving, you might have a lead belt on to keep you down. But if you're a soldier and you have metal armor on, and you're not necessarily wanting to go deep sea diving, you sink like a stone, okay, and you stay there. And they said just, and again, we don't know how high the walls are, but this has got to be a pretty good chunk of water, and that comes crashing in. Well, you see what a wave, a tsunami does, wipes everything out. Well, this is kind of same thing, only it's come from both directions. It must have just literally tore them apart, and they sank like a rock. Verse 6, and then we'll stop here. It says, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in thy power. And thy right hand, O Lord, hast dashed into pieces the enemy. And apparently that was one of the things that Pharaoh's army was kind of bragging. We can take these guys barehanded. Well, God took care of them barehanded. They said he didn't really even need his hand. He just breathed and the sea parted. They walked across and let the water go back, and it takes them out. And that continues on. There's a song of Moses. We see the ladies get involved. It's kind of, if you hear, is that what they call it? Antiphonal? Or it kind of goes back and forth? Anyway, the ladies are in on this too. You get on to 15:20, and Miriam and the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And so, I mean, everybody's rejoicing. I mean, they're having a song fest here on the other side. And though it doesn't say that, they've walked all night. They probably laid down and took a nap. We'll have to leave it here. Like I said, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at this. And so it's kind of like, okay, now we're going to go there. You know, we've studied about it. Now we're going to go there. We're going to see how this actually works out. And pretty awesome. And the thing is, the word spread. How everybody else got to know about it, we don't know. But when it came time for them to cross the Jordan River, the people in Jericho's where knees were knocking together. They heard about parting the Red Sea coming across, and they're on the other side of the Jordan. Well, that's not a problem. God got them across the Red Sea. You can probably get them across the Jordan River. And so it gave them great confidence for a long time. The people of Israel, they needed to trust the Lord, but also put some fear into other nations that may have wanted to do them harm along the way. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even at times we may find ourselves kind of like the Israelites come up against a dead end. We may not have the Red Sea ahead of us, but we've got some problems that we don't see how in the world we're ever going to make it through this. And yet you've got a plan. You've got a way. You've got ability to do things that we never even dream about. And when you tell us that you will deliver us, you mean that. And it doesn't mean that we've got to plot and scheme and come up with something ourselves, but we need to learn to trust you. And when you tell us to move ahead, even when it doesn't seem to make an awful lot of sense, we need to be willing to be obedient to you. Help us to learn lessons alongside of these Israelites that we too learn to trust you. And that you're still the same mighty God that delivered them from Egypt. And you can take care of us today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.